This is Pure Decking for Thursday. We know it's Thursday. Does anybody have the year? Because I've been drinking.
1776.
Close enough. The show. This is the show.
Good year for scotch.
This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game. And I forgot to write a new joke for the opening. I'm Morps, and tonight we have RU486 manning the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm. 1 point to me.
We have...
Just breaking in, we have a leader on the scoreboard, Morps, and it's me.
I see how this works.
We have, observing how this works, is Suave.
How's it going?
Minus one for Suave.
Damn. Oh, Cykros has the date for me. Today is boom time, the 20th day of the aftermath in the YOLO 3184. This is Pure Decking Show number 326. So,
1 point for the audience.
And I am currently drinking... Four Roses single barrel. So I've got about a double of that. Neat. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Bullet Bourbon on the Rocks.
Cool. And this is a really disjointed intro.
Major, what are you drinking? Let's get professional back at the helm. Major, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking some wine I made by throwing rotten apples in a bucket.
Okay, so Major's been in prison, and we've just had a late addition to the show. Static, what are you drinking?
Not your father's root beer at the moment.
Yeah.
Minus two for being late.
I do believe we're going to be pencil whipped in this, whatever game we're playing.
Mind if I crash?
Why not? We just started.
Depends. What type of car did you buy the extra insurance? If it lands in the pool, you get extra points.
So I thought. So we'll open up with the first story here. This is from USA Today. Cord cutting accelerates as pay TV loses 1 million customers in largest ever quarterly loss. Cable and satellite TV providers lost 1.1 million subscribers during the July to September period, the largest quarterly loss ever, and the first time the industry lost more than 1 million subscribers in a quarter, according to media and telecommunications research firm, Moffitt Nathanson. After Dish Network reported its third quarter earnings Wednesday, the New York headquartered research firm tallied up the publicly reported subscriber losses to arrive at the finding. Dish lost 341,000 subscribers in the third quarter, compared to adding 16 in the same period a year ago. Overall, Dish has lost 367,000 subscribers, but added 26,000 Sling TV subscribers. It's interesting that they're counting Sling TV since that's internet.
They own it.
Yeah, that's true. Rich Greenfield, a media and technology analyst with financial services firm BTIG in New York, arrived at a similar conclusion and called it the third worst quarter in industry history and worst since Q2 2016. That continues a worsening trend line for satellite TV providers. 2 weeks ago, AT&T said DirecTV lost a net 297,000 subscribers during the year, during the quarter, 359,600 satellite subscribers departed, And while it added 49,000 new subscribers to its streaming TV service, DirecTV Now, overall, AT&T has 25.15 million pay TV customers, DirecTV 19.6 million, UVerse 3.7 million, and DirecTV Now 1.86 million. Looking at satellite TV departures, the industry lost 726,000 subscribers during the period. Telecom TV services, which include AT&T's UVerse and Verizon Fios, lost 104,000 customers combined. Cable TV providers lost about 293,000 for the quarter, but its trends are getting marginally better. Moffitt Nathanson suggested. That has a weird-ass name. And as the industry lost 322,000 in the same period a year ago. While Comcast lost the most video subscribers, it also added 363,000 broadband customers. Slowing growth for DirecTV Now and Sling TV could suggest price sensitivity of broadband-delivered TV services may be turning out to be greater than expected after several of the services increased prices, analysts said. No shit, it's a luxury good. The firm did not list numbers for services such as Fubo TV, but said there were anecdotal reports of strong growth of smaller players that could suggest a shift in leadership in broadband delivered services. Fubo TV last month said its subscriber base had doubled from a year ago to 250,000. The Motley Fool has estimated YouTube TV has more than 800,000 subscribers, and PlayStation View more than 500,000. Hulu 2 months ago said it surpassed 1 million. So they're saying 78% of U.S. households subscribe to some form of pay TV service, down from 86% in 2013. During April to June, the top pay TV providers lost about 415,000 subscribers. You'd think I'd be better at reading numbers by now. And the fewest net losses in 4 years of what is traditionally a weak quarter. Some pointed that to the sign that cord cutting was slowing. Not so, says Moffitt Nathanson. An increase in new households, many of which will show up as new pay TV subscribers, hid defections of longtime customers, analysts say. Yeah, so that's pretty much the end of it there. These companies that the real problem is that the same company that's losing subscribers for TV is the internet provider in most of these areas. So, and as I've discussed a lot, you often don't have a choice of your ISP. So, I mean, people are not paying for TV anymore. And you think about it. You look at some of these packages where if you get TV, cable, and phone, you're looking at $200 a month. So, where you could just get internet and do phone and TV, through the internet connection, but of course the cable company doesn't want that. So, I know, Mad Men, you were saying earlier that you didn't get a choice. They had to bundle it. They would not sell it to you otherwise.
Previously? Right now I just have straight internet.
Okay.
Before this company changed over, I was given a discount for having TV, though. I was able to get when I was with Time Warner.
Yeah.
Time Warner gave me a better deal on a TV internet package than just a straight internet package. Now, when it switched to Spectrum, that went away. So I just went straight to internet.
Well, who was it saying they didn't get a choice? Somebody was saying they didn't get a choice a while back.
For what?
You had to have TV. They would not sell you internet alone.
Oh, I see. Gee, that would suck.
Yeah, I remember someone saying it. I can't remember who it was, though.
Maybe it was one of the other guys who's not on tonight.
I would find that hard to believe, though.
Well, I know when I signed up for it, just to get internet, they gave me a hell of a time about it.
Well, sure, because they're trying to meet their quotas, and they get more money. But I think that person probably said, "No, I'm not doing it." Type thing. It wasn't actually they can't get it. But the actual solution to this is these companies need to ditch their TV, make their internet better. They take market share away from the other internet providers, because there is typically more than one DSL. Anyways, DSL sucks. DSL could actually do the same thing. AT&T, right, is typically the ones around here. Ditch their stupid DirecTV and make their internet better. And then they can have more market share. They'll get more people.
There was a guy I used to work with. He doesn't work there anymore. But where he lived, he was not able to get any landline internet. Just, you know, a quirk of, you know, the DSL trunks being full and nobody else provided anything out that way. And so they went with a couple of the... It wasn't T-Mobile. What's the other prepay?
Cricket does a prepay.
It may have been Cricket. I think it was Cricket. And he basically lived off cell phones. And, I mean, he would remote into work. He'd do all this stuff through a cell phone signal. And apparently, because he was going through Cricket for the phone he was using for the house internet, basically, just basically being a hotspot, he said it wasn't that expensive compared to, you know, what he was paying for cable before he moved. But I think you're going to see as people, because I think Static's got the right idea that, you know, hey, adapt to the change, roll with it, and, you know, try to own it. But we all know how well these big companies do that.
Adapt to the change, I could see. One of my problems with cable is they sell packages where I get a dozen channels I never watch, and I'm getting charged for those 50 channels. If they want to pick your own channels, and here are some packages you can get, like 10 channels, 20 channels, 30 channels, whatever. That could get some subscriber base back.
Well, I'm just wondering, are they going to jack internet rates way the hell up as people to subscribe to only get internet?
No, they're actually just buying up TV providers on the internet.
That's true. Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is my cable provider, I didn't notice this until today, because I went to look at changing out some things on my internet. They're actually selling cell phone service now.
Huh.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I feel like I'm just wondering, are they going to actually roll with it, or are they going to, you know, try to burn it down because they're not getting their way and their old business model's dying?
I think they could roll with it, but one thing I see happening between now and when they adapt, before, we were all watching kind of the same shows. Now we're not. Like, Hulu has some direct-to-Hulu shows. Amazon Prime has The Man in the High Tower and a couple other just Prime shows.
Yeah, we actually talked about that. We did an article on that a couple of weeks ago about how piracy was starting to go back on the rise because, you know, to be able to watch everything you wanted to watch, you had to subscribe to like 6 streaming services. And I think you're right.
So now instead of us all talking about the same show on Mondays or whatever at work, we're fractionalizing our viewership.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but it does mean we're less culturally in tune with each other.
Yeah, I see where you're going from that point of view on a cohesive society level. But, dude, if it just sits around a couple of TV shows, that's pretty fucking shit society if that's all it's holding it together.
It's not, but... it does help if you have more things in common.
Well, I feel sorry for the dude on Monday who doesn't like Game of Thrones. And they're fucking left out.
I don't know. I've read all the books. Until this last series, I could have kept a conversation with anyone and probably known more about it than they did.
Yeah, but that's you like the series. Imagine if you didn't like the series and that's all people are talking about. To get back to where we were at, I think they'll fuck it up quite hard before they figure it out. Whoops. To be honest.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what that's going to look like. I mean, are you going to see them... with the net neutrality stuff going up and down, you know, are you going to see them just go wild fluctuations on limiting these things like Comcast tried to do a while back? It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is it going to be European style where you have to pay for, you know, your gigabytes or gigas, as they call them over there?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll wait and see. But
I don't think it's going to go a pay for so many gigs usage. I believe people will shoot a brick if the cable companies start going with that model. And the reason for that is we've already gotten used to unlimited cable. It's just varying speeds. So I could see them doing throttling, possibly. Like, you have to pay for whatever speed you want, and then trying to regulate it that way.
Well, I mean, we already kind of have that, but... So, I don't know.
Isn't 5G coming soon?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, if your definition of soon is like in the next 5 years, they've got to put a lot of new equipment up to do that.
Fuck, I live in Australia, dude. We are 10 years behind any technology. Would that be almost
could be
something new?
I mean, it could be.
You're completely cable-free then. You're not relying on anybody apart from a provider.
No, it absolutely could be. And then...
You're not locked into the area. Any provider could use a cell tower. So,
oh sure, and I'd actually be all for that if the speeds are there, and of course 5G promises that. But you know, I've done some tethering off my phone as well when I was having some problems with the cable, and you know, if I had to, I could live with it, but I wouldn't really be happy about it.
Okay, it's not that great, eh?
It works, but like, I could probably do decking from a cell phone signal because there's probably enough speed for that, but you can't game on it.
I disagree. I've gamed on mine before.
I couldn't hear.
From the airport.
I think in spots you could. I think it's what you could. And like I said, the guy I used to work with, he lived off of it. You know, that's all he had. And he said it wasn't that bad.
I think it depends on your carrier, too.
Yeah.
I could have fiber here pretty soon. My utility is providing fiber internet now.
So when you get lucky that, I'm gonna want to set up some servers at your house, Madman, just FYI.
There's information on 5G, by the way.
Oh yeah, they got a newer release date because my understanding was they still had so much equipment to deploy that only a few places were going to be getting it.
So a few places by the end of 2019 roll out nationwide coverage 5G by 2020.
Yeah, that was the last date I heard too. Was 2020, but it was going to be the other problem was getting all the handsets out there that it was going to be a while. Yeah,
First handset's going to be released later this year by Motorola. Hmm. It's going to start off as it's called hotspots. It'll be the first 5G devices, and then the handsets.
Yeah. So, maybe I'm a little harsh on the rollout, but yeah, I think 2020 is probably fair before it's in general use.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a race between Verizon and T-Mobile at the moment.
Are we going to have competing standards again?
God, I hope not.
So, all right, let's move on to this next one. This is from the Sydney Morning Herald. And, yeah, so we got the Australian news covered, man. I don't know why. I mean, it's just RU. Nobody else is there at the moment. So, it's just Big Island, are you on it? You know, that's my current view of Australia.
Well, there were four other people on it yesterday. They sort of died, though.
Well, you got hungry.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
So, about 17 million Australians will be automatically enrolled in the My Health Record if they do not opt out by next Thursday, despite lingering significant privacy concerns about the federal government's controversial e-health system. Legislation that would enshrine a patient's right to permanently delete their record and ensure that the police may only access a person's medical history with a court order is yet to pass Parliament, but politicians will not get a chance to debate the bill before the opt-out deadline passes on November the 15th. That's
by design.
That's kind of shitty. that they're not going to be able to fix it before the opt-out deadline, meaning they're going to get all that data, and, of course, once they've got it, they've got it. So a Senate inquiry into the rollout of the e-health system last month recommended that the opt-out period be extended by 12 months and legislation substantially rewritten to safeguard patient safety and privacy. But the health minister, Greg Hunt, refused an extension. It is understood that the government has been considering other recommendations from the Senate report. And they've got a picture of Greg Hunt here, and he looks like a cunt.
He is. I went to school with him. He's a fucking faggot.
He kind of has a dopey look on his face in this picture, too. Like he's trying to figure out, is that a bird or is that something flying at me?
Yeah. But a man who should have been left in charge of a dead cat.
But when it comes too late, it comes too late for a groundbreaking Tasmanian school health clinic, which will close its doors on Friday after 10 years of helping teenagers with sexual health and mental health complaints. The clinic's founder, Dr. Robert Walker, told Fairfax Media that he had decided to end services at Rosny College in Hobart after concluding it was too risky to operate under the My Health Record system. Dr. Walker said his clinicians would have a duty of care to explain to young people using the service that there was a risk of the details of their medical treatment, including tests for sexually transmitted infections, could be uploaded to their My Health Record without their knowledge. I don't want to do that because the kids get scared. He said, well, a lot of people get scared. Seriously, I mean, because we were talking about this earlier, and you said, well, you know, the police will be able to access it and just pull your DNA. Like, so if they find blood at a crime scene, they could potentially use the medical database to figure out who it is. Now, on one hand, great for solving crime. On the other hand, you're going to have a lot of people avoiding going to the doctor because of this kind of stuff.
That's easily fixed legislatively. Just write a bill saying the police can't access
it. That's the one that's been delayed multiple times, and that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the article.
It's by design. Like, they want them to have access to this. It's so cradle to the grave nanny state here right now. No one wants to run their own lives. They just, hey, government, do it. You know, oh, Great Wall, fucking tell us what to think. You know, ridiculous. Yeah. That is one of the big things, Madman, is, yes, you're getting all your health records in one area. I'm hoping that doctors are just like, no, we're not going to give you this fucking record. I really hope the bureaucracy just goes, no, you can't have that.
But, you know, honestly, there needs to be a really good way of separating your name from it. Because if it is all in one database, you know, guaranteed it's going to get leaked or popped or, you know, something at some point. So, like, all of a sudden, you can now go search, like, and see if your boss has an STD or, like, I don't know, whatever.
A parent could look up their child's, records, who's 35 years old, and realize that he's been smoking pot for the last 10 years.
Are they making it accessible by the public or just by certain officials?
It's supposed to be by certain officials, but we all know how that works out with databases.
Yeah.
It depends on the database. The military here has had this for a while, and I don't remember it being popped yet.
Give it time. Psycho says, see if your boss has an exploitable food allergy. You just come in one day, you're in the argument for a raise, and just in the middle of the conversation, you casually reach into the briefcase, pull out an orange, and set it on the desk.
That's a good one.
It's going to be great for medical research, though. Everyone's now in a huge trial.
So
also, too, Madman, I'd like to know that if I do have a serious medical incident, the thing is, if I do have a medical incident with all my information being available at the touch of a button, it makes the care provider a lot faster in decision making. If you know what I mean, if they like, hey, we can just go check out this, 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 and this to see if it relates to this and the medical problem. No, doesn't have any of that in his history. All right, we'll move down the track to something else. Do you see where I'm following there? I think that's okay. I am a little iffy about what's going to happen with it if it does get popped. Who gets access to it? I wouldn't want bureaucrats who haven't got anything to lose being able to have access to this, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to look up their spouse. They're going to look up, you know, their neighbors, their friends, you know. There's good and bad with it.
Who's the primary EMR?
State.
Medical records keeper. The state's outsourcing that to someone. They don't have a database.
The people that keep your records at the moment are actually the doctor's surgeries that you go to or the hospital.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about the My Health record, so.
I don't know who's... they probably farmed it out to India.
Well, no, I mean, possible, but I'm hearing My Health. That's probably Epic, to be honest. So there are strict mandates to that. I don't know of an Epic instance so far that has been popped. It is one of the more secure.
And as far as the cops using it, I don't think the cops are going to worry about it. They have found this other wonderful tool that people are voluntarily giving their DNA to. It's called 23andMe.
Yeah.
Or any ancestry site.
Yeah.
It seems once you give your DNA to them, it's not yours anymore. And these companies have no problem letting the cops run DNA through that database.
Yeah, they just caught that guy a couple of weeks ago here because of it.
They've caught four or five people. And it's not even direct hits. It's, we found his family line. And then they do forensic pathology from there and track down the killer.
So I think the goal here is not to be a criminal, but
the cops aren't going to worry about whether they have access to your medical records. Yeah. They have access to other shit already.
I'm just trying to figure out, because I'm not, I don't think I'm against this, because I mean, hell, my records here are already electronic. And given my health, that's probably a good thing, but. I have some family issues.
How exploitable is it now? The stigma of AIDS is pretty much gone in most countries, or any country that's able to put electronic. Yes, dude. I'm saying if you were to come out right now and say, I have AIDS, you're not going to get fired and you're still going to get a promotion.
Oh,
and I'm going to say you're a faggot. All of those things are going to happen. So the blackmailability, gone.
Yeah. I was actually just referring to hypertension, but okay.
Okay, hypertension. You're not going to get fired over that.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they don't bundle up mental health records with the health records.
That's something that still has a stigma, so I could see that.
Yeah.
But, so what about your Privacy Act that's already been initiated there? How does that play into this?
No clue. To be honest, I haven't even been giving this My Health Record thing a second thought. I'm just like, Matt, go with it. Because the crazies running around talking about it are just off the wall crazy. I can see the downside, but there's not enough downside for me to opt out. That's right. All I'm saying. So if there's anything that comes out of it in the next couple of months, I'll let you guys know. You know, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
But at this point, there's more good in this for me and benefiting me than bad.
So, I mean, the article goes on talking about how
solve those crimes,
like that doctor is shutting down this clinic because he doesn't want to have to explain to kids how their records are going to end up in this thing and that could affect them negatively later. And, you know, how the government's kind of ignoring a lot of people asking them questions about this stuff. Look,
if you're having to go to a doctor for these sorts of tests, I'm betting your lifestyle's not that that long term anyway. You know what I mean? You're already showing signs of risky behavior by taking drugs and having unprotected sex. Right?
Okay. So I'm just throwing it out there for discussion because I think it's interesting that they're auto enrolling people and you have to opt out of it. And we were talking earlier about how you're not even really being able to do that.
Yeah, so what's embarrassing about getting an AIDS test or a hepatitis test?
Well, since they do those as long as along with a battery of a whole bunch of other things pretty much every time you give blood, I mean.
Exactly. So what's the issue? What are these kids afraid of?
The results. I mean, I think,
well, that's...
But I don't think there's a stigma to most of those anymore.
No. And I think most women's magazines run a self-check off of what STDs you caught this summer. Like, the more you get, the more points. But I can't see employers having access to this.
I'm just throwing it out there for the general concept that, you know, the government is running the healthcare records and auto-enrolling.
The only thing I could see is you're going to have a shitty doctor try to profile you by your past experiences.
That's what they do now. That's how they diagnose you.
Exactly. But
if I haven't been to a tropical area, then they're going to rule out most tropical diseases.
So.
Yeah.
That's why they ask you for your medical history. Whenever you go to a doctor, they are guessing at what you have.
Well, this is what
they're
hopefully
running tests to knock something down or prove whether or not they're right, but it's all guesswork.
Well, and, I mean, they nearly killed Static because of his medical history. It's like, no, that can't be what's going on with him.
I was about to say, even giving them the medical history, they didn't know I was having a heart attack.
Well, that was crappy doctoring, and I'm going to also say, with your age, I wouldn't have thought heart attack.
Yeah.
With your symptoms, I would have thought heart attack, but with your age, I wouldn't have thought heart attack. So, there's not a lot of symptoms that overlap with heart attack, I think.
If this is the first step to getting the Star Trek medicine where they just do the whoop special effect over you and you're better, I'm okay with it. So,
yeah.
Right.
What I'm thinking is going to be cool, I see this as a way of monetizing your medical records as well. You know how many research
companies are
going to pay for that?
If you are the one monetizing it, that's fine. If it's whatever provider the government has contracted out to manage the medical records is monetizing it, fuck that. That's not right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I see the government monetizing it.
I don't think I like that idea either. Because that means
we'll
incentives
in a week.
The incentives of it are not necessarily going to line up with what's best for you. If you're doing it,
the incentives
it's
on the government ad is to collect all the information they can about your medical history. How is that not beneficial to you whenever a doctor's looking at your medical history?
Well, if it's one of those states with limited managed health care and they have death panels, that could be a problem. It's like, we've done the estimate
with the UK.
We've done the estimate. We see here that it's better. We're just going to go ahead and total you out. And
they have that problem whether or not the government has access. Because to get the treatment, you know what you already have to do? Give them your medical history. So instead of them pulling it up and looking at it on their iPad, they wait for you to hand it to them.
Well, if the government's the ones doing it, and the government's the one provisioning who gets, you know, what treated, it doesn't matter what doctor you go to now, does it?
Nope. But as far as them selling out the info, there's not a conflict of interest there with gathering info. If that's their goal.
Actually, Psychro says this will kill doctor shopping. I don't know that that's the case. Maybe. I mean, if the government's saying what they'll reimburse based on your history, then
it will, Psychros. That's a fair point, man, and that's fantastic. But we already have the pharmaceuticals chart where every time you put a prescription in to get filled, it gets logged Australia wide. So if you go down and say get your 50 bottle of OxyContin one day, and then you rock around and get it again, from a different shop, it's going to register, and you're going to have the cops around pretty fucking quick. So we've already eliminated doctor shopping for drugs. So,
oh, cool.
How are we going to make crocodile if I can't doctor shop?
Oh, what was the button? There it is. Had to look at the legend. I forgot which button was what. So
the answer for that is we just need more Smurfs.
Next article is one that RU sent me and is also from Australia. In the video game Grand Theft Auto 5, players steal cars and rob banks, but in the real world, it's the owners. Or its owners are cracking down on players who hack the game. Okay. For one Melbourne man, this resulted in a surprise knock at the door. On the morning of September 25th, Christopher Anderson, who is known by multiple online aliases, had his home searched and some of his computers seized.
That would be Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. Let's see. No, Morpheus works for us. We were just trying to get you to take your medication. The action was taken by lawyers acting for Take-Two Interactive, the parent company of Grand Theft Auto V maker Rockstar Games. Mr. Anderson's assets have been frozen by a federal court order, save for reasonable legal and living expenses, leaving him, he said, to survive mostly on meal replacement supplement Ocelent. What the hell is Ocelent?
I feel like this is an advertisement for Ocelent, which I'm definitely looking up right now.
It's a Soylent product. Mr. Anderson's a soy boy. Yeah.
Awesome. Complete nutrition for $285. Ocelent.
He has also been restrained from further developing or distributing alleged cheating software known as Infamous. Speaking to Mr. Anderson, who is in his early 40s and feels a little like browsing the internet. Each question is addressed like an online search query. Oh, come on. So what you're saying is the dude's autistic. Not, he's like, you know, an internet. He offers many possible answers alongside occasional quotes from the book Fahrenheit 451 or Ronald Reagan. Okay.
The man's got everything covered. I like this.
In the face of copyright infringement case brought by Take-Two, he strikes an exasperated tone. They're just beating up on me, he said. Mr. Anderson is currently without a lawyer and is yet to file a defense. He is not alone. In 2018, Take-Two has taken legal steps against alleged makers of modification software or mod menus in the United States, Germany, United Kingdom, and Australia, and sent cease and desist notices to others. This includes at least 5 people the company says are associated with Infamous, plus others tied to mod menus with names like Elusive and Absolute. In a statement, Take-Two confirmed it had taken action against people selling multiplayer cheat software. Cheating software not only gives individuals an unfair advantage, but it also allows interference with the gameplay of other users, the spokesperson said. Even among gamers, mod menus are controversial. For his part, Mr. Anderson said Infamous helped protect players against more malicious cheats, a bit like antivirus software. There is particular culture of modding among Grand Theft Auto, according to Alex Walker, editor of the gaming website Kotaku Australia. Players might change how the game looks with colorful add-ons like Marvel comic characters. But in the game's multiplayer online version, Mr. Walker explained mod menus can exploit game code to favor one player at the expense of others. According to Mr. Anderson, a run-of-the-mill mod menu can effectively give superpowers to the player using it. You can teleport yourself anywhere within the game environment, he said. You can, to an extent, manipulate the game environment, and depending on the sophistication of the mod... what did I just do? Website has hot
minus one,
minus two. You can manipulate the game environment, and depending on the sophistication of the mod, you can create virtual currency. Using Infamous, players can grant themselves in-game cash that would otherwise have to be earned by completing missions or purchased from the developer. These advantages didn't come for free. At times, players purchased Infamous for up to $40, $55 Australia.
Still cheaper than a shock card.
I'm watching a video of somebody using this, and this is by far the best cheat menu I have ever seen for any game, even legitimate ones. Like, there are so many things you can do, and I want to get this now. This looks like a lot of fun. Is this a thing that a guy could do, like, on single player and not get in trouble?
Apparently, not in Grand Theft Auto V. Remember, people were getting in trouble for doing mods in single player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For manufacturers who offer their own in-game purchases, such unofficial projects clearly rankle. In its 2018 financial report, Take-Two wrote that cheating programs could negatively impact the volume of microtransactions or purchases of downloadable content. The report added that in-game spending across its titles now accounted for about 42% of net revenue, hence why there hasn't been a Grand Theft Auto 6. They're using in-game.
Will it ever be?
They're using in-game purchases as part of their business model, said Mitch Stoltz, senior staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation in San Francisco. The challenge of whether gaming companies should protect their intellectual property from modding and how to do so is not unique to Take-Two. Blizzard, maker of World of Warcraft, has successfully sued modders or mod makers for breaching its user license agreement. The owners of the popular title Fortnite are also going after cheaters, a move that caused consternation after it took legal action against a 14-year-old boy in North Carolina. Some commentators dispute that copyright law is the best way to control cheaters, and at times Rockstar itself has approached modifications with a lighter touch, especially mods in single-player mode that don't affect other competitors. After the cease and desist letter was sent to the creator of the popular modding tool in 2017, the company wrote that it believes a reasonable fan creativity would not take legal action against non-controversial projects or non-commercial projects. There is also uncertainty about where consumer protections end and the right of copyright owners begin. Nicholas Suez, a law and digital media researcher at Queensland University of Technology, said major publishers often use copyright and contract law to clamp down on cheap development, but their claims are rarely tested in court. In September, for example, Take-Two settled a case against an Australian man who they said had infringed on the company's copyright and breached its license agreement by building other Grand Theft Auto V mod menus. So the thing that they never actually address here is, I mean, they're actually, you know, raiding this guy's house, but these have to all be civil claims because writing video game cheats is not actually illegal. It does violate the game's terms of service, so you can argue, and you can make a copyright argument, although I think it's a weak one, personally.
But, like, he had assets frozen from a federal court order.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. It was clearly...
I mean, they're treating it like a criminal.
They're sending a message.
There is, I'm sure they're trying to get him charged with some sort of hacking law or something.
They want to get him onto telecommunications fraud.
All those laws are kind of vaguely written.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I mean, this is nuts. They're going after somebody and raiding his house over what ought to be a civil case for cheating in a video game. Now, I realize with the microtransactions, there's actually fairly significant money behind this stuff now, but I don't know. I just, you know, this strikes me as running a trainer in Diablo. It's like, you know, you shouldn't get in trouble for cheating in a freaking video game.
Yeah. But, you know, like, it is true. Like, that is their business model, is the microtransactions and stuff. So when you can, like, just, like, hop in a car and mod it on the fly while you're on the street and just add all the DLC, whatever you want to it, obviously people aren't going to buy it anymore.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
it's not just adding the DLC. Let's say you hop in the car, turn on God mode, one hit kills, run around and murder the player base. Am I going to log back into that game?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to. Well, look at, is it PUBG? Their player base has just fallen off since they let the Chinese players in. They're just fucking cheats everywhere, man. People aren't playing it anymore.
Yeah, I remember reading about a game like that. Like, the hackers would, like, hop in and, like, basically go around and threaten to kill everybody if they don't get on this bus. And they would just, like, rip the bus around the whole map, just killing everybody who wouldn't join them.
Sounds just awesome.
Like, totally derailed the whole like game. I'm like, yeah, that sounds kind of awesome. It does.
That sounds like life is futile. Working in the fields. Yeah, next thing, six dudes come running along. You're fucked.
Hey, get on the murder bus or die.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rest of the article is the EFS arguing that it's not this. It shouldn't be illegal.
Yeah, cheaters shouldn't go to prison, but they should have their photos and their families strung up from fucking trees. But,
damn.
You know, I fucking hate cheats, man.
Me too. For multiplayer games, like, I honestly do hope that they find a good solution to prevent that sort of thing.
Yeah, but him being prosecuted is a message, man. That's, there's sending a message here. Yeah, he is.
But, like, it's definitely gotten too far when people are, like, making a living selling cheats for your video game.
Well, that's it. I think we need to distinguish cheating and modding, because those are two different things.
Yeah, this guy was actually selling a product, so you could, by buying a $40 product, that you could get maybe, you know, $50 million transaction in-game credit. That's a lot of shock cards, man. It's what, $10 million in a shock card's $50. And you can spend that $10 million in one mod.
Yeah.
So, I can see it must have been pretty profitable for Mr. Anderson.
So, I don't know. I don't like the cheating either.
It's a new
either,
type
but...
of crime. Like, it's not, because that business model hasn't really...
No, stop. I don't feel like this should be crime, because where you go from here is where we went with the tractors, where it becomes illegal to change a thing you own.
Oh, yeah. And in case you haven't noticed, there's been all kinds of laws being passed about right to repair and everything, and that's actually becoming a big deal.
Yeah, they have to do a copyright exemption every once in a while for phone unlocking, and now they've added, you know, some of the repair stuff to it.
But like,
We talked about that one too, but I just...
I'll draw the line we don't go after cheaters in single-player games.
Yeah, I agree.
Grand Theft Auto 5 online, fucking burn the bastard at the stake. I'm gonna drag his ass out and squash his balls.
Maybe the game companies should do a better job
protecting their code.
Yep.
Do you get arrested if you cheat at a casino?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they usually just kicked you out.
It depends on how much it costs to prosecute you. Because, no, and not just cost to prosecute you. Do they catch you cheating or do you win too much? Because winning too much and cheating are two different things. They usually catch you winning too much before they figure out how you're cheating. So they kick you out. But yes, if they see somebody signaling you, looking over the dealer's shoulder when you're playing blackjack, both you and the person doing the signaling get arrested. It's theft by deception.
That's why you have to learn how to count cards.
Now, counting cards, they can't prove that you're cheating. And counting cards actually isn't cheating. So they don't arrest you. They throw you out. But let's say you have a computer in your shoe. Counting cards for you. That's cheating.
I'm not putting the cell phone in my shoe. That's stupid. The computer stays in my pocket. Now, the little switch...
Get smart.
Yeah, and pull your shoe off to make a phone call. Now, the little switch I'm using to trigger the counting program on my phone, yeah, that might be in the shoe.
But yeah, if they cheating, you can be arrested.
Well, okay, so you can go after them as you know, theft by fraud. That's how you ought to go after these cheaters.
But you know,
I don't know. I'm thinking civil, because I don't want them going to jail. I just want them fined and taken out of my game.
Yeah,
and the reason the cops are going in to secure evidence, whenever you file a civil claim, you can ask the judge to secure the records of a company to prevent the company from shredding them, because a lot of times the company only has the records for the crimes they've committed.
That makes sense.
They're doing the same thing with an individual. He has records of what he did on his computer. The people suing him don't get to look at it. It goes before a judge. The judge picks somebody that actually knows what they're doing. That person reviews as a computer. If there's anything relevant to the case, that gets taken before court. Everything else is supposedly flushed down the memory hole.
Okay, nothing but hentai.
Nothing but
I feel sorry for the guy who's going to be wallowing through that guy's computer.
We'll talk after the show, but...
oh, God.
The problem I see with this, I do think the seizing his assets or is going overboard, because he still needs to be able to live. He needs to be able to finance his defense. And I do believe innocent until proven guilty. So until you show that he's guilty of what he's being accused of or sued over, that's his cash.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Suave, we'll talk after we're not recording, where I don't have to worry about the lawyers.
Oh, I'm excited about story time.
Story
time with Morps is always good.
It's probably not as exciting as you're thinking, but the stupid just hurts. So, yeah, no, I don't want to talk about it on the show, because if people on the internet knew what I was doing for a living, I would
next
lose my
story.
Be like, you're doing what, you asshole, narc. Anyways, next one.
What he's not telling you is he's a Chunkendales in reality. Love the snapshots. Guess who?
3 points for that, man.
I'm gonna get emails now.
Where are you performing next, Mops? I have $5.
I'm performing at this guy's house.
He's got an event coming up too, so yeah, you'll be welcome.
So Suave
doing the call.
So Suave sent me this next article. It's from the South China Morning Post. A group of some of China's smartest students have been recruited straight from high school to begin training as the world's youngest AI weapons scientists. The 27 boys and 4 girls, all aged 18 and under, were selected from the 4-year experimental program for intelligent weapon systems at the Beijing Institute of Technology, with more than 5,000 candidates, the school said on its website. Or from more than 5,000 candidates, the school said on its website. The BIT... Go ahead.
I really hope they read the contract and these people aren't going to be surgically grafted into large machines. That's what it sounds like, man. And it's China.
The BIT is one of the country's top weapons research institutes, and the launch of the new program is evidence of the weight it places on the development of AI technology for military use. China is in competition with the United States and other nations in the race to develop deadly AI applications, from nuclear submarines with self-learning chips to microscopic robots that can crawl into human blood vessels. Okay, so those don't have to be weapons? I mean, yes, juicers were a thing in Cyberpunk, but, you know, they breathe the cloud on somebody and they just disintegrate. Gross. Anyways, these kids are all exceptionally bright, but being bright is not enough, said a BIT professor who was involved in the screening process but asked not to be named because of the sensitivity of the subject. We're looking for other qualities, such as creative thinking, a willingness to fight, and a persistence when facing challenges, he said. A passion for developing new weapons is a must, and they must be patriots. The beatings will continue until your attitudes align.
They're going to be put into machines. These are the first RoboCops.
Each student will be mentored by 2 senior weapons scientists, one from an academic background and the other from the defense industry, according to the program's brochure. Nerve! They're building nerve! They're going to have giant robots.
2 teachers per kid.
Yeah.
How many of these kids are going to kill themselves?
Each kid has 2 mentors. It doesn't say that the mentors only have 1 kid apiece.
How many of these kids are going to off themselves from the stress?
Oh, at least 4 of them.
After completing a short program of coursework in the first semester, the students will be asked to choose a specialty field, such as mechanical engineering, electronics, or overall weapons design. They will then be assigned to a relevant defense laboratory where they will be able to develop their skills through hands-on experience. One of the students is Kuai Yixin from East China Shandong province, who said, you're sending me these Chinese stories just because you like hearing me try to pronounce these names, right? Who said that he
One
has
point
a
point to major.
Who said he has a keen interest in guns and weapons since he was a young boy and enjoyed reading books and magazines on the subject. We don't have BSV returning to the show to defend his title this week, do we?
I'm going to make a prediction about this school. There's going to be a terrible lab accident, and one of the students is going to find their consciousness transposed to a robotic body. Cybernetic, one might even say, and they're going to go through all kinds of mental growth experiences where they, you know, figure out what their consciousness is and everything. And then there's going to be this really evil guy with a scar across his eye. This is anime right here. This is like the plot from an anime film.
You gotta understand, this is a culture and people that are and a party that are thinking 100 years ahead.
Oh, I know, but like I've seen this exact plot from so many movies where they're like, oh yeah, you know, like we're taking the best of the best and putting you in this super secret battle school. Like somebody go read like Ender's Game. Like this is battle school.
Oh yeah. This is Ender's Game shit right here. You're right.
As well as being offered an interview with the Bit Program Technology, who's in the running for a place at the Tsinghua University, one of China's top seats of learning, but both visits were scheduled for the same day. When I arrived at Beijing, I loitered at the railway station for a long time, but then I went to Bit. I couldn't resist the attraction, he was quoted as saying on the Institute's website. He said his decision was also influenced by his father, who wanted him to work in the defense industry. Bit launched the program at the headquarters of Noroco, one of China's biggest defense contractors, on October 28th. Norinco? I don't know. We are walking a new path, doing things that nobody has done before, said student representative Kui Luyan in an official statement. After completing the four-year course, the students are expected to continue on a PhD program and become the next leaders of China's AI weapons program, the institute said. Eleanor Powells, a fellow in engineering cyber technologies at the Center for Policy Research, United Nations University in New York, said she was concerned about the launch of the Bit course. Well, duh, they're a competitor. This is the first university program in the world designed to aggressively and strategically encourage the next generation to think, design, and deploy AI for military research and use. While the U.S. has had similar programs, those run by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, just call it DARPA. Everybody knows what DARPA is. Nobody knows what the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency is. Anyways, they operated in relative secrecy and employed only the cream of established students or scientists, Paul Wells said. In contrast, the BIT program seemed more focused on training the next generation of students in weaponizing AI, she said. This concept is extremely powerful and troubling. You think everybody else isn't doing it? I mean, come on, dude. Students would conceive and design AI as an engine or enabling force to weaponize self-learning, intelligent, and automated systems. That knowledge could also be used alongside new and other existing technologies, such as biotechnologies, quantum computing, nanotechnology, and robotics, which would have drastic implications for security and military dominance. Terminator. You're worried about Terminator. Come on. Think of robot swarms capable of delivering harmful toxins in food or biotech supply chain. Well, don't give them ideas!
I would like to point out they have access to manga as well.
Well, it's just like she's like, my god, look at this. Here's a schematic of what they could be doing. It's like, wait, don't give them ideas. You know, somebody in China is going, oh, that's China already has a reputation for stealing other people's intellectual technology. We don't need to broadcast it for them, they'll do it anyway. With the undergraduate program, you can envision students starting to think about how to harness the convergence of AI and genetic systems to design and deploy powerful combinations of weapons that can target with surgical precision specific populations. Well, isn't that a good thing? Don't you want to only kill your target and nothing else?
It depends on what your target is. Let's say they wanted to make a bioweapon. It's going to only target people that don't have slanty eyes.
No, they don't like Japan.
They can't use that weapon on Japan. Ooh, the horror. They already have enough people. They can stick them in rowboats with sticks and take out Japan. The rest of the world they need to worry about.
Go ahead. Suave, or are you? Somebody was trying to speak.
Are you?
No, you're right, Madman. Don't give him ideas. This is some fucking awesome shit, though. They are dominating.
I don't know if I'm going to say dominating.
I'm just kind of sad that, like, you know, just imagine all the awesome stuff that is being developed right now and, like, all these crazy fucking prototypes out there of, like, super fucking crazy, like, sci-fi robots and stuff. I'm sure it's out there, like, in some defense contractor warehouse or something.
I think they could develop something awesome, but here's my Eurocentrism. Have they ever developed something awesome?
Well, we don't know. You know, like, if you came up with something really good, wouldn't you want to, like, hold on to it and keep it secret?
Oh, God, no. I'd want to become a billionaire and blackmail the rest of the world.
Well, yeah, this is Madman, like, we're talking about here. He put the thing in the middle of the, middle of the street with, a set of skulls hot glued on the top of it.
If it was, like, the Defense Department, maybe they won't, you know? Do you want your enemies to know your capabilities?
They wouldn't, but, you know, Trump...
AI, then I would just have the best search engine on the planet, and I wouldn't tell anyone it was AI. Google is now gone. We have Madman's awesome search bar.
But, you know, with, like, even porn. Simple things like, you know, a tiny drone with, like, a small charge on it. You know, like, just... little assassin drone. You know, I bet that's totally possible right now. And I bet you there are functional assassin drones out there.
There probably are, but some dude with a sniper rifle coming out of military school is probably still cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know. The battery life on an awesome assassin drone? I'm going with not that awesome yet.
No, some of the nicer ones can get about 20 minutes of flight time.
Single use, you know, it doesn't need a ton of power.
Well, if you manage to detonate it with half of a charge, I mean, the lithium batteries go up if they're charged up. So, you know, that's just adding the explosive force right there.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, like, I'm sure you just put, like, a little mini shape charge or something like that on the front.
Yep. Did China invent any of that? Or, like, that's already flying around my neighborhood.
Yeah, flying Claymore.
It's only a matter of time.
Suave, what did we just say about giving them ideas?
The flying Claymore already exists. It's Morps' drone stuffed with plastic explosive and screws. That's
it's not a difficult thing, but, like, you've never heard about somebody getting killed by this. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
There's a reason you haven't heard anyone killed like this. No country in the world's going to admit one of their citizens was taken out by this. That would cause fucking panic, man.
I think you'd be better served building...
I've heard hundreds of people killed by this. They just all happen to be in war zones.
I'm just thinking you would be better served by building a very large drone and just flying it into people using the props as a buzzsaw. Because the thing might be reusable.
No. You just put guns on them. They're called predator drones.
Yeah. Or you get a very large drone and load it up with their little fucking robots that crawl in people's blood vessels and just, like, broadcast them over an area.
It's like, no.
Multi-prong approach.
China's been uninhabitable for years. The machines own it now.
<Let's see. laughs> Once again, I swear, this is like a recurring theme from multiple movies I've seen.
So I'm not going to finish out the article because the rest of it's just speculation about what they might be doing and, you know, comparing it to movies, which we've been doing for like 10 minutes now. So let's move on to this Ars Technica article, but the post is corroborated on the Microsoft forums. So this is kind of a problem. Windows 10 users are finding their legit installs are being deactivated.
Fuck.
Damn it.
For reasons that are currently unclear, Windows 10 professional users are finding that their properly licensed installations are being deactivated. On systems affected by the issue, Windows is complaining that a Windows 10 Home license is being used on a Windows 10 Pro installation. To fix things, the system needs to be wiped and Windows 10 Home installed. Otherwise, a genuine Windows 10 Pro key needs to be used. Microsoft has acknowledged that the problem exists, and some unspecified issue with the active Windows authentication servers is causing the problem. But as of yet, there is no fix. The Windows 10 Pro licenses do seem to be valid, and some resolution is promised within a couple of business days. Whoops.
Thanks,
that's
Windows.
The problem we have whenever companies put more emphasis on making sure you're legitimately running their software than that their software actually fucking works.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's nothing else to say.
Exactly. Thank you, Madman. 1 point.
So don't you have, like, a 30-day grace period?
if you don't put a key in at all, if you have the wrong key in, a lot of times it'll kick you out right away.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what's happening with these. I know on servers they'll go into a this Windows is not genuine state, and they'll still work, but the next time you remote into them, they'll cripple themselves.
Fun.
So
I know on desktops you get a complete black background and it starts shutting down what you can do.
Yeah, it does.
It's like we're now in Windows safe mode. Like, oh, you're now in Windows fuck you mode. Fuck you. Not that I've ever had that happen, because I've always ran legitimate copies of Windows all the time. Morps can back me up on this. He installed all of them for me.
Yes.
Completely legit.
Yes. Completely. 100%. Hey, what's that over there?
Smoke weed every day.
Every day.
Moving on. Next article is from the BBC, and RU sent me this one. Children are being datafied from birth. The Children's Commissioner for... Oh, I forgot to hit the thing. The Children's Commissioner for England. The fact that that title exists is kind of scary in and of itself. The Children's Commissioner for England is calling on the internet giants and toy makers to be more transparent about the data they are collecting from children. Today's children are the first to be datafied from birth, and little thought has been given to the consequences, the report for her says. Who knows what about me calls for a statutory duty of care between social media giants and their younger users, and it urges the government to consider strengthening data protection laws. The report also highlights how young children are now using toys that are connected to the internet. These gather personal messages and information that may be insecure and open to attack from hackers, it says. The report quotes research led by Sonita Livingstone, I guess it'd be Livingston. It's spelled Livingstone, whatever, who describes children as the canary in the coal mine for wider society, the first to encounter new technology and its risks before many adults were even aware of them. It says children should be taught in schools about how their data is collected and for what purposes. Where a toy collects any video or audio generated by a child, this should be made explicit in a program part of the packaging or its accompanying information. You know, so the really tiny little print that nobody reads in the back of the booklet.
I want 14-point font on the box.
There you go. Warning, records your child and uploads it to the internet. Yeah, that's what it needs. Using language children understand, companies should explain clearly in their terms and conditions what data is collected and how it will be. Language children will understand in terms and conditions. Nice.
Well, this is because their parents are morons. They're not expecting the children to read this.
The report estimates that between the ages of 11 and 16, children post on social media 26 times a day on average. Take the cell phone away from the child.
Wow.
By the time they reach adulthood, they are likely to have posted 70,000 times. By the age of 13, a child's parents will have posted on average 1,300 photos and videos of them to social media. There is also the data gathered when children use the internet, tracking devices and apps used by parents to keep tabs on their offspring, the biometric data held by the public bodies such as the schools and NHS. The report warns that there could be risks to young people where profiling of internet usage is utilized in areas of life where it can have deep ramifications, such as the judicial system or the education system. One worrying scenario is if it gives health insurance company information posted by a child on social media about their mental health as part of its decision on whether or not to issue a policy or how much to charge. Anne Longfield, the child's commissioner for England, said, "We need to stop and think how what this means for children's lives now and how it may impact their future as adults. We simply do not know what the consequences for all this information about our children will be. Companies that make apps, toys, and other products used by children need to stop filing them with they're filling them with trackers and put their terms and conditions in language that children understand. And crucially, the government needs to monitor the situation and refine data protection legislation if needed so that children are genuinely protected, especially as technology develops."
Like, I'm not a litigious man, but if my mother ever put my likeness up on the internet, I would sue her into the fucking poorhouse. Don't post your children's pictures online. Go ahead.
You haven't looked at Facebook ever, have you?
No, I haven't, and I don't want to.
Yeah, you should stay away from that.
I haven't had an actual photo taken of me since I was 13 years old, unless it's on an official driver's license or a passport.
I don't think that's true.
Except for the meetup. My express permission was given.
Yeah, and you still had a bag on your face.
Hmm?
So... Although I think Fox has a bunch of video. You might need to go kick the shit out of him.
Oh, there's a heap of shit out there, and I know exactly who's got what. So I know where the dick picking's got to go if it ever gets posted. You know what I mean? I have a shit list. I think it should be... You shouldn't be allowed to post pictures of your children online. It should be their decision once they're over the age of 18.
Yeah, but you know, like you've got all these fucking grandparents, they want to see their kids. Yeah, you can't just be like, you can't just outright ban something. Never works like that.
I don't want to ban it. I think there should be like, healthy encouragement of not doing it.
And you know, like what's wrong with posting like your kids' pictures on your Facebook page? You know, like, is this gonna, like,
what if the kid ends up like me? For God, I hope they don't, but, you know, they just don't like their images being out there.
Do you look anything like your baby pictures?
You've seen him in person, we all know he does.
Mm-hmm. 1 point to Mops. You can't stop them from harvesting children's fucking likes and dislikes from toys.
Well, you know, like, I feel like if society as a whole thinks that children's data shouldn't be mined, then that should be legislated.
That just makes it more lucrative.
I like the idea of the warning on the box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Surgeon General's warning, your children may become a whore from this.
Warning, surveillance device. You know.
Yes, yes.
Warning, this thing is uploading your shit to the internet. But how many people saw that?
Honestly, I think the surveillance device warning is awesome and should be used across everything that is a surveillance device.
Alexa, like your iPhone.
Yep.
Your car.
Your computer.
Yep. My
your
car does not listen to me.
It does. It will.
It doesn't right now.
How old's your car, Madman?
2003.
Yeah, it listens to you. Wow.
It does not listen to me.
The computer takes constant measurements of brake, acceleration, pitch, and roll.
Not 2003.
Yeah.
No,
It's computerized.
It's computerized.
It's okay. My car listens to me. Badly, because I usually have to yell at it a couple of times to get the voice recognition to call the right person. But it does listen to me. So I'm not worried about it listening to me, because half the time these voice assistants don't understand what the fuck you said. Anybody's ever tried to use the Google voice dictation or the Siri dictation on the iPhone? Yeah, look at how right that is.
Oh, it's not the dictation that worries me. It's that that's still being recorded somewhere. A human's going to pull it up and listen to you.
Yeah, well.
They're just going to be listening to you say, "Call Madman, you fucking bastard. Damn it, I said call Madman. God, I hate you. I'm going to flush you in the damn toilet."
You've got access to those recordings, don't you?
I'm sitting next to you, and I'm like, "I'm here. You mean call static."
You know, that might have actually happened.
I'm sure it has.
All right, well, before we go on to a digital dojo, let's check in with RU on the official Pure Decking scoreboard.
Yeah, it's still plugged in and lit up. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still right there. Whoops, I can see it. And minus 1 point for asking about the condition of the scoreboard. There's a set of unwritten rules that I will fucking wield as a whim.
Yeah, they probably change on a whim too, don't they?
Yes, they do. And they will be applied in different ways. No man is created equal here.
Couple things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a VirtualBox escape. So, yep, somebody's found a vulnerability in the network card driver used in VirtualBox and written a modified version of the Ubuntu E1000 driver so that you can actually break out of VirtualBox. Now, exploiting this, you have to have root on the virtual machine, and you have to be able to load a network card driver, and you need a modified driver. However, he has posted enough information here to show you how to do it, and he did it on Ubuntu just because that's what he was familiar with, and it's easier to modify a network driver on Ubuntu, but there's no reason this couldn't be done on other operating systems. So until VirtualBox fixes this, which I don't know that they're going to, at least in the current versions, but he did not go through, you know, what's called responsible disclosure or a bug bounty. He just threw it out on GitHub, said, "I'm exhausted. Fuck you. Here it is." Yeah, so he's just going, you know, full disclosure. Here it is. And so, yeah, if you're using VirtualBox, apparently the fix is to not use the E1000 virtual network card. Switch it over to the emulated Realtek one, or not to use NAT to give it actually a bridged address, which I usually end up doing that anyways. The other thing I like to do with VirtualBox machines is pop USB network interfaces on the machine and pass them through to the VM directly, but that's just me. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, do they?
Nope.
Nope, Fox and Sard aren't here.
It's a virtual machine escape. These are cool because it actually means that code from the virtual machine could be run on the host. So if you use VirtualBox, you need to be careful about it right now because there's a problem with the E1000 network card. And also something that is probably going to get crickets from the panel. Somebody did a nice write-up. This is actually kind of old, but it's so cool. Somebody did a nice write-up of using an Arduino to build a device that will run Zork on a TV. So they used the Arduino to generate a composite video signal and to either, you know, hook up to a PS2 keyboard or use an IR keyboard from like a web TV. And he's got a full wiring diagram and, you know, where to download the code. And you hook it up, and you can play Zork on the TV, because everybody likes playing games from 1979. But I think this is cool, because it's actually using an Arduino to generate the video signal and some sound, and, you know, pick up keyboard and, you know, pick up your brass lantern and go exploring. You know, don't get eaten by a Gru.
That only happens if you turn the lantern off.
That's true. But very few people understand what the hell I'm talking about right now. So, Static, closing thoughts.
I need another beer.
It's a good thought. Madman, closing thoughts.
So, I have one of those round bourbon ice maker things. And while I've been drinking, the ball of ice is melted into a Pac-Man. Not really a final thought, but it is kind of a cool, weird way of ice melting.
More of an observation, Madman. Minus 1 point.
All right, so closing thoughts.
I was coming up with something related to crazy Chinese battle schools, but I got derailed by the bourbon ball. Like, damn, I really want one of those. Is that like a silicone mold or something?
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, I want that.
Yeah, I gave my dad a set of those for Father's Day. He went nuts over them. All right, are you? Closing thoughts.
I don't really have any today, but if you want the winner of the show.
Yep.
Winner of the show is PSV by a mile. And can I have my total back now, please, PSV? I did what you want. One. I want Campbell back.
Leonardo is going to be soup. Just let you know that.
Promised he wouldn't eat him.
Tasty.
So on that note, I'm just gonna play the Pac-Man sound, close this out.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.